This is Lou Ferrigno of the Credible Hulk speaking. You're listening to Comic Book Central. It's where comic book come to life.
Welcome, true believers. This is Comic Book Central. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. Thanks for joining me here in the lair, and happy Free Comic Book Day. Once again, it is that special time of year. The flowers are blooming, the birds are chirping, and the comic books are free. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably know what I'm talking about. But on the off chance that you don't, take a listen to Star Trek's Geordi LaForge and Reading Rainbow host LeVar Burton. He'll tell you all about it.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton. And you probably know from the last 30 years that I've hosted Reading Rainbow that reading is a pretty important part of my life. But what you might not know is that my love of the written word originated with comic books. That's right. You see, I'm an army brat. My father was in the military, and when we were stationed in Germany, comic books were a treasured item that we first read and then traded with one another. And they also kept us connected to the popular culture back home. So I'm excited to tell you that Saturday, May 3rd, is Free Comic Book Day. It's an opportunity for you to go into your local comic book store and pick out one of 60 comic books for free. For fans out there, it's a great way to try something new. And for you parents, what better way to get your kids excited about reading than with a comic book? So, Saturday, May 3rd, hit up your local comic book store for a free comic book, but you don't have to take my word for it.
That's right, LeVar. I'm here to tell you, Free Comic Book Day is way cool. If you haven't participated in the past, this year is the perfect time to start, especially if you have kids. It's a great way to introduce them to comic books. And you're more than likely going to see a lot of Spider-Man costumes at the comic book shop this weekend. To find a shop in your area and to see what books you can score, check out freecomicbookday.com. Now, if you're listening to this podcast Friday, May 2nd, get ready for Free Comic Book Day. If you're listening Saturday, push pause and go get your free comic books. I'll still be here when you get back, don't worry. And if you're tuning in after Saturday, May 3rd, no worries. Many shops still have some of the books left over. And if they've run out, there's still plenty of awesome four-color adventures to be had. In fact, you'll probably find some deals on that big green character that first appeared way back in 1962, the Incredible Hulk. Now, modern movie audiences are familiar with the computer-generated character from two Hulk movies and the Avengers, but I'm telling you what, back in the day, one man made us all believe the Jade Giant was real. That man is my guest in the lair today, Lou Ferrigno. Louis Jude Ferrigno was born in Brooklyn, New York, the son of a police lieutenant. Now, not long after he was born, however, Lou suffered a series of ear infections, which resulted in the loss of 75% of his hearing. Now, this seeming disadvantage turned out to be a motivating factor for Lou during his teen years. Inspired by bodybuilder-turned-Hercules star Steve Reeves, Lou threw himself into the world of bodybuilding, developing the massive physique that would win him a Mr. America title, back-to-back Mr. Universe titles, and a memorable appearance in the documentary Pumping Iron alongside fellow bodybuilder Arnold Schwarzenegger. And when producer Kenneth Johnson was developing the Incredible Hulk TV series, he was searching for someone who had the physical presence to make pre-CGI television audiences believe that Bill Bixby's David Bruce Banner could transform into the towering, rampaging monster. Lou's 6'5", nearly 300-pound frame fit the bill, and every Friday night he came crashing through our television sets. 5 seasons, 82 episodes, and several TV movies told the tragic tale of David Banner and his green-skinned alter ego, but in all of those stories, the Hulk never got a chance to speak. Not until the Incredible Hulk animated series. Unlike the live-action show, these episodes remained faithful to the Marvel comic, featuring characters like Doc Samson, The Leader, and She-Hulk. They also showcased Lou's return to the role he made famous. This time, the Hulk could speak, and Lou gave him a voice.
Bruce? Bruce Banner? Or do you prefer Mr. Hulk?
Hulk, not puny Banner.
Hulk smash! Hulk pound!
Throughout Lou's career, he's made a name for himself playing the hero in films such as Hercules and Sinbad of the Seven Seas, as well as humorous versions of himself, on television in The King of Queens, and on screen in I Love You, Man. But old Jay Jaw was never far away. Lou made cameos in both Hulk feature films and once again gave voice to the creature, the most recent outing being the billion-dollar blockbuster The Avengers.
Well, he is not mean, he's not green, but you know what, that doesn't matter. I am definitely not going to make him angry. He is Lou Ferrigno. Lou, it is a pleasure to welcome you to Comic Book Central.
Thank you, and hope all is well. And going on 40 years now, the legacy of the Hulk.
That's an amazing run, and it's still in a lot of people's minds. You are the one. Hey, you know what? I believe we have something in common.
Okay.
I'm calling you today from Columbus, Ohio.
Wow.
Okay, are you authorized to pull me over and give me a speeding ticket here in the city?
Well, I mean, I can do whatever I want, but basically, I lived there for 2 years in 1973 and 74.
Okay, and then last year, you were you got a badge, didn't you?
Yeah, I was deputized in Columbus, Ohio, so when I get a chance, when I come back to town, I'd be happy to support the Delaware Sheriff's Department.
That's amazing. Now, this is the third time this has happened to you, correct?
Yeah.
You were deputized in two other places, correct?
New Orleans, and I'm a deputy sheriff in Los Angeles and San Luis Obispo.
But how does that work? What are you able to do?
I'm able to, what I normally do, as a police officer, as a sheriff, I go out, I could do patrol, I can do speaking, I could do weapons training, I could do a lot of search and rescue, I could, to support the department, work with the prison system. There's many different angles I could work.
Whenever you're going out on calls, are people just blown away when they see, oh my goodness, it's the Incredible Hulk? Have you ever had an experience like that?
Well, they know, and they respect me because they know that basically I'm on duty, and they know it's not, we're making a movie here, the real deal, so basically I'm very conscious of what I'm doing because it's a dangerous situation, because you never know what situations you encounter.
Have you been in some dangerous situations?
It's been tough times, but I can't go in detail about that.
Okay. Now, your father was a New York City policeman, correct?
Lieutenant for NYPD.
Now, so this must just have such a close personal connection with you. What is that like to just sort of, now you're able to kind of follow in his footsteps a little bit here?
Well, I've always been fascinated with law enforcement. It's in my family, so my whole life I always wanted to be involved. So now I have the chance to do it. So 10 years ago, I was sworn into the Sheriff's Department, and part of me giving back. So it was one of my dreams.
What kind of kid were you? I mean, your dad's a police officer. Good kid? Get in trouble?
Never got in trouble. I was a great kid.
Okay. Was it because your dad was a police officer? Did that have any impact on this?
Oh, sure, because he told me a long time ago when I was young, he said, if you ever get arrested, I'll leave you in jail. I'm not going to come and book you out.
Okay, so he's not messing around.
Well, I respect for him, and I knew. I mean, when I was a kid, I never got involved with bad things like doing drugs or just robbing, I mean, stuff like that. I was been a great kid. I had a lot of respect for law enforcement because I respect the authority and how much what they've done for the state and the country. So that part of me growing up.
Who were your heroes growing up as a kid?
Sean Connery, Steve Reeves, who played Hercules. I admired them because they had a lot of passions about courage and character. So I was a big fan of the James Bond franchise.
Comic books? Were you a comic book fan growing up?
Huge on Superman and the Hulk because I was always fascinated with power as a kid. So I used to collect a lot of comic books, and I love the stories all about G versus E. And I grew up with the Hulk.
What was it that appealed to you about that character just as a child? What sort of resonated with you?
Well, the way he looked, the fact that people thought he was like a beast, like a monster, but basically he was a gentle soul, and he really dealt with G versus E. So it related a lot to me because part of me growing up, I had to deal with a lot of adversity, so I related to that character.
Did reading those types of stories and seeing these heroic figures and Hercules, and you even got to play Hercules later on, did these type of characters then, when you're reading these stories and seeing these movies, did they sort of inspire you to overcome your difficulties because you had the hearing loss?
Oh, sure, because I didn't have anybody to talk or meet or be with. So basically, I was like a real-life Walter Mitty. So as a kid, that's the path I knew I wanted to follow to survive, because that's how I got involved in bodybuilding, and because that changed my life, because it taught me to be better friends with myself, that combination of the mind and the body. So that changed me tremendously.
Now, you were the youngest man at the time to claim the Mr. Universe title. Is that correct?
I was the youngest one to win the IFBB Mr. Universe at the age of 21.
What was it about you that you were able to achieve that then at that young of an age?
Well, because I trained harder than anybody else on the planet. I was so determined to win because of all the negativity, people saying that you can never win Mr. Universe. So I broke all records. I won the Miss America and the Mr. Universe the same year.
So you kind of went into it with a chip on your shoulder and just saying, I'm going to prove this.
Indirectly, but not directly.
It worked out. It absolutely worked out. Now, unbelievably, no acting experience, you go right into The Incredible Hulk. Now, you were not the first person cast as The Incredible Hulk, so tell our listeners how that sort of played out.
It came natural to me because I just I wanted to portray how the Hulk thinks and feels, so they just let me do my thing, and it came natural because at the time, you call that Panama, I mean acting without speaking, because the fact that I had no experience as an actor back then, but I just knew that what the Hulk should have been like, so it just came natural to me, which was a good thing at the time.
Was Arnold Schwarzenegger originally considered? Was he in the mix for the Incredible?
I think he was, but I think he'd rather see me play the part because he knew I was perfect suitable for the part, and I think he kind of recommended them to use me because I think he had different interests.
Yeah, now Richard Kiel had originally been cast, but didn't have the exact physical appearance so much as the Hulk.
Exactly. He didn't look like the Hulk in the comic book, so they thought they had a mistake on their hands, so they wanted to reshoot the whole pilot. So that's why when I went down for the screen test, they thought they found the Hulk they wanted, so they had to reshoot the entire pilot.
Okay, now looking at the pilot, it's unbelievable. I mean, you had to have been in the peak physical condition at that point, because even you watch the pilot, the whole flat tire scene, your first appearance, it's unbelievable how massive you are in that scene. I mean, you truly bring the Hulk to life. What did it take to maintain that physique for 5 seasons?
It was very hard because the fact that I had to work out before or after I finished shooting, I could not train while I was shooting because of the makeup situation. So I had to invest extra hours, like sometimes train maybe 3 in the morning or maybe 2 in the morning when I'm done at work. I just had to make a new sacrifice because I knew that to maintain that condition, I had to train at least 4 or 5 times a week. So that was very difficult because, you know, when you're in the makeup, I was immobilized all day. And it's tough because, you know, it takes an hour to remove the makeup and reapply the makeup took like 3 or 4 hours.
When did you sleep?
Yeah, I had time to sleep. Sometimes I would take a nap in the motorhome.
Just when they're putting the makeup on?
It's tough. I mean, I would sit with a bathrobe and have my arm outstretched on the couch and just sitting there. And it was very uncomfortable, but I found a way to try to take a nap. It was tough. I mean, it was like being in prison.
So you go to sleep as Lou, you wake up as the Hulk, and that just becomes 5 years of your life.
There you go.
Now, being from Western Pennsylvania originally, as I am, I have to ask you what it was like when you met one of Pennsylvania's favorite sons, Mr. Rogers. That is a classic episode of Mr. Rogers when he and Mr. McFeely go behind the scenes of The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, I was excited about it. I was very honored because, you know, when I was young, I used to watch the show, and I just knew that when he came to film it, I just knew it would be a tremendous vehicle for the kids to watch and learn about the Hulk character. So I had a good time viewing him on the set because he was very conscientious of the character and the show itself. So it was great because still today, after almost 40 years, it's still one of the most popular episodes they ever had on television.
Yeah, and it serves as a really great behind the scenes. If people haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. It's broken up in a couple parts. But it's a really good behind the scenes. Bill Bixby is fantastic in it. He really works along with Fred Rogers and trying to teach kids. And then there's some great shots of you. It's an episode with a biplane where you're doing these stunts. You're doing this one stunt and the wing just like kind of collapses. So that's you up there, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've done 99% of all the stunts because of my physique, and it's very hard to double me because long shot, maybe far away, maybe you can't tell, but anything close up, I mean, I had to do it myself.
Did that one seem as dangerous as it looked on Mr. Rogers when we said that? Because you remember when the wing just kind of collapses underneath you?
And they all were dangerous. I mean, I was always a little nervous beforehand, but at least we had a great crew, had great stunt people, and you know, of course, Dixie was a great actor too.
Yeah, and you also get to see the makeup session. They kind of go into the whole makeup session as you're going through there, which is great. There's a great story that you told recently on one of Stan Lee's podcasts about the fact that you were exhausted and decided to leave your makeup on one time. Is that true?
Yes.
Tell our listeners what that story is, because this is hilarious.
Well, one time, it was about maybe 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, I was so exhausted, I didn't want to take the makeup off. I figured just ahead of it, let me just drive home. And the mistake I made is I was driving home, and I was on the freeway, and somebody else driving alongside me on the freeway noticed and saw me and got overexcited and freaked out, so he happened to hit the car in front of him.
You're in full Hulk makeup.
I know, and I said to myself, I need to get home, because the last thing I need is to get pulled over the freeway and see these officers recognizing me and thinking I'm pulling some kind of prank on the way home. I mean, it was an embarrassing situation.
Did you ever find out what happened to the guy? I mean, is he...
Oh, I just kept driving. I mean,
You were not a deputy at the time.
No, I was young. I mean, I was. Yeah.
Now you're looking. Now you can make up for all those things being a deputy. But yeah. Could you imagine? I mean, could you just being in his shoes? Could you imagine you driving by and there's the Hulk at 1 a.m. driving a car?
I know.
That's fantastic.
My God, it would have been a great opening for a reality show today.
Well, hey, there you go. Maybe that's the new reality show. We mentioned Bill Bixby. What was your relationship like with Bill, because he is just amazing in that show. Really, it's a character-driven show.
Well, he was like my mentor. He's like a father, a son relationship. I mean, I've always been a fan of Bill and admired him, and I learned a lot from him by watching him, studying him, how he conducts his line. And he was very professional, so he was always very supportive of me, and it was a lot of fun.
When you got the role of the Incredible Hulk and you came into it, it's not like the comics, because as we talked with Kenneth Johnson in his interview, he mentioned he wanted to stay away from the comics. He didn't want a comic booky feel. He wanted a character-driven show. What did you notice when you came into the show, and what appealed to you about the whole process with Bill Bixby's acting and the scripts and the direction and just the whole package?
Well, Bill wanted a good storyline. He didn't want to have stories like aliens or jumping from mountain to mountain, something that looked like hokey. So it's all about a good story and a good message every show. So that's why he knew that if he stuck with that formula, the show would go for many seasons, which he did.
Now, there in the pilot, there's a really great scene where Susan Sullivan, the great Susan Sullivan, as Elena Marks, spoiler alert if you haven't seen the episode by now, but she dies at the end of the episode. But she dies while David Banner is in the form of the Hulk in your persona. So you have to kind of carry off the scene where she dies. In our interview with Kenneth, he mentioned that he kind of did an ad lib with you during your audition. Could you tell us a little bit about how that went and how that impacted your performance in that scene?
Yeah, well, we talked about it, but basically, I just talked to him, and we talked about it. I said, I'm going to just say, he just said, let it go. I mean, that's just one of the emotions I had, just let it go, because, you know, you're on the set screaming top of your lungs. I mean, and especially when you have the whole crew around you, you have to improvise that whole scene. So we worked at it together, but it was pretty scary for me, but I just let loose. And then later on, when you get to see the scene, I see how much of an effect it had on it, because at the time when I did it, it felt very strange. But something inside of me knew that I wanted to show the pain of her dying. So it all came about.
Did you play it as if the Hulk understood who she was and the impact that she had on her life? Or was it just sort of, I don't know what's going on, I just feel some weird emotion?
No, just it wasn't emotion, it was a connection. I mean, I knew what was going on, thinking like the Hulk, and I used that because the whole time I was in that character. That's why the character was so famous, so believable, because I really portray how the Hulk thinks and feels. You could see on the screen that he connected to Susan Sullivan. He connected to her, and the pain that he felt very abandoned, very lost, and he didn't have anybody to love him, because, you know, when we were born, there was a connection between her and Bill, but still, in the Hulk's mind, he still had that connection.
There's a tragedy. There's a tragic aspect about that scene.
Sure.
Did you get it when you were playing it, or when you watched it later, did you just go, whoa, that was bigger than I thought it was?
bigger than I thought it was. But I can remember one thing on the day of the set when I saw that pain. I mean, I used everything I had inside of me to relieve that pain. And that's why I knew that it was believable when it was shown on the screen. It wasn't fake because you could feel it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing performance. It just it brings that tragic aspect. And just the fact that you had never acted before was unbelievable to me. So there's no surprise that the pilot sold off of that. I'm guessing your favorite episode is King of the Beach. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. For our listeners, maybe if some aren't familiar with the Incredible Hulk TV show, maybe some of the younger listeners, you have a dual role in that. You're the Hulk, obviously, but who else do you play?
Well, I play, I think, Carl Molino. He was the owner of, he worked in a restaurant and he was competing in competition. And also, it was the first time he got to see me and the Hulk together. So I had a chance to play myself and get to be the Hulk. And it was the second highest rating show of the entire series.
Wow. When you got that script, did you even know it was coming? Did any of the writers or Kenneth Johnson tell you ahead of time, like, hey, we want to work something in here with you out of makeup, or was it a total surprise?
Well, we approached the writer because my wife at the time, I mean, you know, she was behind of a lot of all. So we came up with the idea that I wanted to be in the show with myself. So they came up with a writer and a director.
What's it like to act with yourself?
It was great.
Are you the best actor you've ever worked with? Because you have seen against yourself in there. It's Lou and the Hulk.
Well, what's interesting is that I had to improvise because they had another guy, a big bodybuilder, where I couldn't see. So I had to envision him as the Hulk and how to pretend. That's why when you get to see me, there's somebody else standing over my back pretending it's me. So it's almost like how to use a lot of my imagination.
And you got to act directly, have lines with Bill Bixby. That had to be completely freeing as an actor.
Oh, it was, because a lot of people were surprised I was able to act, because most people have the impression that you play the Hulk, but then they realized when I had that speaking scene that I was able to perform as an actor, not just running around with a green makeup and growling.
What kind of tips did Bill give you as far as your performance, kind of going through this and just running dialogue with him?
Connection with the scene before, the plot, the storyline. The most important thing is was dealing with the obstacle, knowing that what is the motive of this character, what is he trying to attain, what is he trying to achieve, where is he going toward? Because the first time dealing with that, you're dealing with a different emotion, and Bill just basically just told me, just be free and don't hold back. And, you know, it's the first time as an actor, it's pretty shaky, pretty scary. I felt very comfortable with him because I've been with him for so long, so it was a safe environment for me.
Yeah, it was a perfect, nice little episode there.
Well, to put it this way, the first time where you see me every day come to the set as the Hulk, and then the first time you see me as Lou as an actor, act in front of the whole set, so they get to see the other side of me, so that was quite a surprise.
Did that open up some other opportunities for you? Because I think it wasn't long after that you had, like, Hercules and some other things come up, right?
Well, yes, it did, because over the years I've gone into theater, I've done stage plays, I've done over 40 films. And recently, I don't know if you've seen online right now, I played this character on a Star Trek TV series. They have the whole episode just air online, and what's interesting, you'll see more of that from the Hulk, kind of, because I play a different range as an actor. It's online right now, so if you check it out, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Oh, very cool. When we get toward the end of this, I want to make sure we get the websites out there. A couple of episodes on the Hulk. We talked about stunts. Death in the Family, we got Hulk versus a bear. What was it like to shoot with the bear?
It was a lot of work because we had a lot of problem with the makeup. But, you know, wrestling with the bear, because the makeup getting on the bear's face, so basically they had to shoot with the bear's shoulders. And you know, the bear is not like you're dealing with an actor, with a flexible. So we had to improvise a lot. So also be in the water, when, you know, with the wig and the makeup. So there was a lot of scenes we had to reshoot over and over because there was a technical problem with the eyes, with the makeup and the skin. And it was tough, but the way they edited, it became hilarious.
And it was, the bear's name was Pooh? Pooh Bear?
Yep.
And it just, when you're going through the scene, I mean, how long did it take to shoot that? Because I think your wig was getting knocked off and all kinds
well,
of things.
Well, it was like a half a day, but the hardest thing was the fact that I had to almost try to wrestle with the bear because the bear was just standing there, so I had to almost improvise that he was attacking, we were fighting. And that was hard because, you know, plus we're in the river and you're dealing with the water and shooting in the water. That was even harder because, you know, dealing with the lighting, and then we had to fight losing the sunlight, so we had to reshoot the next day. I mean, it was tough. But more than anything, I hated to be in being water with that makeup. It's very uncomfortable.
Is this basically the toughest job you ever had?
Well, you have to put on what you call grease makeup on the whole body instead of pancake makeup, so it won't run or smear. But the problem with grease makeup, it would take 2 hours to remove from the body. I mean, it's all very sticky, and it was just, it's almost like having wet paint, walking on wet paint all day long.
Especially when you're talking about a bear, because they can't just put the bear in the makeup chair.
I know.
And also the episode The First, you got to play opposite Dick Durock, who also played Swamp Thing.
Yes, that was a great episode.
What do you remember about that and working with Dick Durock, the late, great Dick Durock?
Well, he was a sun man, and I knew that anything we did, he played off me pretty well. But I liked the story, the fact that, you know, you see another Hulk and you see the two of us. And then, but Dick was an experienced actor, so it made it very easy for me. It was a lot of fun because I know later on he did the Swamp Thing, but he was very patient.
Yeah, it was a lot of amazing episodes during that run. And then there was also a proposed crossover with Spider-Man. Did that ever reach you with Nicholas Hammond, the live-action Spider-Man and the live-action Hulk? Did you ever hear anything about that?
No, but I don't know what time they were planning to do She-Hulk, but that fell through.
Yeah, there were a few things coming up. And then we obviously had the TV movies. They were more comic book-driven than character-driven. Kenneth Johnson wasn't involved in this point. They had The Incredible Hulk Returns, Trial of the Incredible Hulk, and The Death of the Incredible Hulk. We had Thor, Daredevil, Kingpin. So you guys were kind of laying the groundwork for all these Marvel movies and things we're seeing now and the Avengers and all those kind of things back in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, yeah, because it wasn't for the Hulk, it wasn't for me. It wouldn't be around today because it all started when I began the show. It was the best time and place to happen. I mean, I created that character. I don't care what anybody said as far as, like, you know, a comic book, but I'm the one who brought that character to television with Ken Johnson, and that's why it's the same, and today is still the biggest franchise out there for Marvel.
How does that feel to be the one guy who was able to pull this off when everything now is all driven by computer?
It feels great because a lot of fans come over to me today when I do a lot of conventions. They always will tell me they enjoy the original series better because they know that on the big screen it's all CGI. But you can't connect with the CGI like a human Hulk like I did. It's never going to happen. That's why I did the voice, because doing the voice helped the character. So people feel that connection when I do the voice, which helped tremendously.
Well, that's what I want to ask you about. You didn't get to do the voice on the original television series. That was the late Ted Cassidy, who also played Lurch. But you've pretty much been the voice of the Hulk ever since the series ended. You've got the animated series. How did they approach you about coming in to do the animated series? Or did you kind of approach them and say, hey, I'd love to do this?
How you auditioned for it?
What was your line read?
I don't remember. I remember I had some dialogue. I remember I auditioned for it, and they wanted to use me for the animated cartoon for UPN. And then eventually I ended up doing the voice in the Hulk movies. But I thought they should have used my voice when I did the series. It would have been great because the character would have been even more believable. But you got to remember back then, my voice probably wasn't as deep as now, so you can't go back in the past, but I've always wanted to do the voice.
Yeah, now how much fun was that to do the animated series? Because you get to just kind of go in and go nuts with this and just keep doing one line read after another.
Well, it was great because I got a chance to work with a lot of other actors like Richard Greco, Mark Hamill. The difficult part about doing the animated, you cannot interact with the other actors, meaning that if you have the microphone in front of you, you have to talk directly straight in front of you. You can't talk cybers like you're filming. So it's tough. So you have to do a lot of in your head.
Okay, so some of the voice actors I've interviewed have mentioned some of it is done completely by themselves in a sound booth. Some of it is done as a radio play. I know Gargoyles was done with the Star Trek cast as a radio play. How was the Hulk animated series done? Were there other actors in the room with you?
There were 10 other actors.
You're all together in the room?
Yeah, meaning we all have to look straight ahead because it's all everything was direct, right into the microphone. But it was fun because, you know, we all played each other's lines. But it's just that you can't act with each other. You only can act with each other what you hear into the microphone over the sound system.
Well, at least you're getting to hear their intonation too, because then you can kind of move right. Work off of them. And then, as you mentioned, the Incredible Hulk in the movies. So we've got the cameo with Stan Lee. Mm-hmm. And the Incredible, so your inspiration all those years ago, the guy that wrote these stories, you get to meet him on the TV series, and now you get to share a scene with him on the big screen. What was that day like of filming?
Well, it was great because Stan was on a couple of episodes of me when I was doing the series. I was happy to be in the film, even though that shouldn't have given me more, but they were happy to have me in because everybody cheered when they saw me on the screen. But Stan, you know, Stan, the one who created the Hulk, and it wasn't for him, I would be what I am today.
What do you think about those feature films? Because your voice is in. You've got another cameo. You're getting a pizza in The Incredible Hulk, which is kind of cool.
Well, that's an improvement because in The Avengers, I think the Hulk's the best he ever looked because with the voice really helped because it gave him also a sense of humor. But every time they film the Hulk, it's improving. The good thing about the Avengers are the Hulk stays the day, so now they're going to make a solo Hulk next year.
Okay, now, do you have any involvement in that?
I probably will, but it's up to Marvel because right now it's just very premature.
Okay, so that's on the horizon. And what people may or may not know is that you actually are in the Avengers.
Yes, my voice, and also in the future, those other films, I want to be in the film, not just doing cameo, rather do some acting scenes and everything, because it only enhances and give more power to the film and also for the series.
Have you approached the folks at Marvel about possibly doing like a sizable role?
Yes, I did, and I'm working on that in the moment.
Okay.
I really want to be more involved.
Can't break anything on Comic Book Central today?
I wouldn't know anything right now.
Well, I hope we can get to see it because that would be amazing.
Thank you.
Hey, some of the things you're doing now, we've got the book, My Incredible Life as the Hulk. What can fans expect when they get that?
Well, there's a story how when I came from nothing, how I overcame all these obstacles to be successful and how to be, you know, and whatever you choose to do to be successful, because the first book was on fitness, the second one was my whole life, how I grew up, and I was the Hulk my whole life, and then how it opened the door for many different things I'm doing today. Because I have a movie coming out called Sculpture King 4. We filmed that in Romania, so that'll be coming out.
And what's that one about?
I can't go into detail about the story, but I play a great character.
Is this a heroic type character?
I can't say. Contractually, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll look for that one, too. And then we also have The Liberator. Is that sort of a superhero action-type flick?
Yeah, it's like an Asian superhero, so working on financing that to a TV series, to a feature film, so that's something I'm very excited about. That's very close to home.
And that also has Worf from Star Trek, Michael Dorn.
Yeah, it's very similar to the character I play compared to Edward Snowden, who's that spy who left the United States. I mean, you know who he is. Very similar to that character.
Okay. And also a comic book came out of that. So it kind of reverse engineered the Hulk. You had now we've got the film, and you've got the comic book, The Liberator, that came out of that.
Exactly. The Liberator, I think, is a great vehicle for the audience today, especially for kids, because it's it's a great story, and then it shows what this guy would have done to him because he was a great soldier and he was rejected. He writes the book. They want to kill him, and then he proves everything wrong. So it's very similar to constantly fighting for justice and fighting for his own life and his own family.
Well, you mentioned James Bond earlier. Is this kind of like maybe your homage to James Bond on some level?
Yeah, because I always want to be like that, heroic and smart, suave, sexy, and solve any crime. That's why I became a police officer.
And let's talk a little bit about that, too. So you mentioned that you're a sheriff's deputy. So what's a typical – how often do you go out as an officer?
Well, I put at least 60 hours a month because I don't take a salary, so I make my own time. So I do a lot of speaking. I do a lot of work with the helicopters, you know, with the SWAT team, saving people's lives. Sometimes I do patrol. Sometimes I do exchange information, computer work, everything, everything I can to help and dealing with Homeland Security.
And what's the message that you try to get out to individuals when you're doing the public speaking and things like that?
That's a great career, and then as sheriffs and police officers, sometimes they have a negative image because the media is always portraying them being overbearing and being cruel. But, you know, they don't understand the situation beforehand, what causes the situation to happen, because we have a great department, and the L.A. Sheriff's Department is the biggest in the country, and that's why every state has their own sheriff's department and police department, and people need to respect that more.
And you also have another website, FerignoFit.
Yeah, FerignoFit.com is a great website. It teaches you how to become a personal trainer. And anywhere in the world, you get customized meal plans. You don't have to hire a trainer. So basically, you learn so much about yourself.
And this is your wife, Carla, kind of heads this up. She was your trainer for a while, correct?
No, she's a personal trainer. So we work together. Three of my kids were personal trainers.
So does your wife, Carla, is she the one that is in charge of keeping Lou fit?
She's more in charge of keeping everything in there, as far as all the kids, as far as business, as far as keeping everything normal.
That's
normalized.
Always good to have, too. Well, there's such a problem in this country in particular with childhood obesity. Is there anything that could be done about this? What's the message that you want to get out as far as kids being physically fit?
Well, two things could go through it, bullying and obesity. It's learning how to eat properly and understand about exercise, and you don't have to be a bodybuilder, but get involved in some kind of fitness, because too many kids today in front of computers, in front of video games, and get involved in violence in a game, video game. Because when I was young, I was more active playing stickball, being in the street. But kids today don't do that. They need to socialize, to be out there more, do more physical stuff, and be more aware of their own bodies.
Is that something you see more of in the future, is getting more involved in getting that message out?
Yeah.
What kind of things can we expect as far as that? Any appearances or videos, shows, anything like that?
Well, my son and I, my family, were promoting our first competition in Santa Barbara. It could be like the Arnold Classic of the West Coast. It's going to be a bodybuilding, men's figure, bikini, women's fitness, and health expo. We're going to be promoting that in November in Santa Barbara 2014 this year.
Excellent. And they can find out more about that on FerignoFit.com?
Yeah, you go to FerignoLegacy.com.
FerignoLegacy.com. And then there's also LouFerigno.com, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
So we've got all those out there. What about Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah, my Facebook. I'm on Twitter, too. My Facebook now is up to 1.5 million.
Nice. Lou Ferrigno is as popular as ever. Yeah. What about your Twitter feed? Where can folks find you on Twitter?
I don't know. I don't Twitter that much. I read a lot of stuff, but Facebook I like. But I think Twitter's more it's different, because I know Facebook is more personal. You have to deal with photographs. You deal with what's going on in everyday life. Twitter more what's happening in the business world and for our show business, too.
You meet a lot of fans. You go to a lot of comic book conventions, make a lot of appearances. What's the reaction you get from fans, young and old?
Well, the fact that they get to see me in person, they know that because I'm in a great physical shape, they feel like they're looking at a real superhero, and they get excited because they're my biggest fans when it comes to the original TV series and the movies I've done. I get a lot of support with that.
What do you see? Do you see like dads and their little kids coming up, and the dads almost kind of become 8 years old again?
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. Exactly. It's great because I see a lot of women get emotional. They cry because they wanted to meet me their whole life. They got a chance to meet me at the moment, get a photo op. It's very touching.
Well, it's such an amazing show, too, because Kenneth Johnson and Bill Bixby and yourself and everybody involved did take it a little bit away from the make-believe world of comic books and really set it in a real world. So there were morals, there were lessons, there were all these things that came out of it. What do you take away from the series? What are your fond memories of The Incredible Hulk as a TV series?
That, I never had a costume. It was just a makeup. The fact that it wasn't like a Superman costume. It wasn't like Iron Man. It had to do with the flesh itself. So basically it showed the fact that more people learned to discover more about fitness, about bodybuilding, than just to be in the Hulk by itself.
And we certainly have, we can look back at the DVDs, the box sets, and find the amazing performances of both yourself and the late, great Bill Bixby, who did a phenomenal job. So hats off to both of you for being able to pull that off. Well, you're a hero to myself, to my friends. We all hulked out when we were kids. We all had the ripped shirts, I can tell you that. So it's nice to see that you're inspiring a whole new generation of kids today with your messages, promoting fitness, all those different things. And if people don't listen to the Hulk, I have no idea who they're going to listen to.
By the way, have them check out www.StarTrekContinued.com and go to the episode Lolani, L-O-L-A-N-I. Check that out. You'll like it.
Yeah, what is that? Tell us real quick what that is about.
It's a new online web series that just finished completing about 3 months ago. It just aired about 3 days ago. It's called Star Trek Continued. It's a continuation of the original TV series. And all the original characters playing by different people. It's about the Orion race, and I play the slave trade of another planet to reclaim my slave with a whistleblower. So it shows you another side of me as an actor, so I get a chance to check it out.
Those aren't the Hulk dogs I hear in the back, are they?
Yeah.
Hey, Lou, thank you for all you do, and thanks so much for joining me on Comic Book Central today.
Okay, appreciate it.
Well, there you have it, folks. The man who pulled off what it now takes hundreds of CGI specialists to accomplish. He is the real deal. Catch Lou in all his green glory with the Incredible Hulk Complete Series DVD box set. As I mentioned on the show last week, that set contains some great commentaries by the show's creator and last week's guest on Comic Book Central, Kenneth Johnson. You can hear Lou bring the Hulk to life on the Incredible Hulk animated series. All of the episodes are on Netflix. You can catch Lou in the Star Trek fan film web series Star Trek Continues at StarTrekContinues.com. It's the episode Lolani. And look for Lou sometime this year in the Scorpion King sequel, The Lost Throne. You can find out about these projects and all things Lou Ferrigno at LouFerrigno.com. Get fit at FerrignoFit.com. Info on Lou's world of bodybuilding can be found at FerrignoLegacy.com. And you can get social with the Hulk. Lou is on Facebook at facebook.com/LouFerrigno.page and Twitter at Lou Ferrigno. Hey, would you expect the Hulk to be anything less than a massive presence online? And while you're looking for Lou, check out Comic Book Central online. Every episode is on our website, comicbookcentral.net, or subscribe in iTunes. The creator of the Hulk, Stan Lee, and the show's creator, Kenneth Johnson, they've spent some time in the Comic Book Central lair, as did Smallville's Michael Rosenbaum, Star Trek's Marina Sirtis and Jonathan Frakes, Thor's Jamie Alexander, Batman's Kevin Conroy, Lois and Clark's Man of Steel, Dean Cain, and many, many more. Check out the episodes you might have missed, rate and review the show on iTunes, and let me know what you think. Email me at joe@comicbookcentral.net. And be sure to share the lair on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks to all those who are doing that. It's facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork and Twitter at comicbookctrl. Real quick, big thanks to Sam Rizzo and Adam Basciano over at the Simply Superman Batman podcast for having me on as a guest for an upcoming episode. I'll post the link to that episode on Facebook and Twitter when it's online. We'll talk a little bit more about that next time. I had a blast chatting about comic book movies and TV shows with those guys. We were geeking it up and nerding it out. It's a fun episode. Keep an eye out for that. Well, just like David Bruce Banner hitchhiking down the freeway accompanied by the Lonely Man theme on piano, we have reached the end of the show. My thanks to the one and only Lou Ferrigno for spending some time with us today and for bringing the Incredible Hulk to life. Next week on Comic Book Central, Action Comics wasn't just the comic book home of Superman, it also gave us the first appearance of Christopher Chance, the Human Target. The man who brought that character to life will be here next week, actor Mark Valley. And he's going to help me celebrate the 75th anniversary of Batman because he also made an appearance in the animated film Batman The Dark Knight Returns as none other than Superman. Hey, we're going full circle in comic book land with Mark Valley next week. Until then, have an incredible week. Keep reading those comics, and thanks for joining me here in the lair, Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations, 3.0 Unported License. All other content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
Hulk smash!